website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Here's the latest Hurricane Idalia update. Idalia is still a powerful tropical storm with sustained winds of 70 miles per hour, but expected to gain hurricane strength soon and grow into a Category 3 storm with 111 mile per hour winds before making landfall tomorrow morning on the Gulf side of the state. Her expected path will bring her close to the Jacksonville area later on Wednesday. Duval County Public Schools are closed through Thursday. Today is the day to prepare. This update brought to you by Covenant Roofing. Get a free roof evaluation at 8334 Covenant.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board as we face the issues each and every day. It is our desire to see you call in, join the dialogue and discussion. And oftentimes I get caught up in what I want to say and fail to remind you of the telephone number. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. We'll be talking about today just how far will they go. The they I'm speaking of, the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party and the Biden administration, how far will they go to destroy Donald J. Trump? How far will they go to destroy America that they might rule over the ash heap of our once great nation? Just how far will they go? We're going to talk about that today, some of the things that's taking place that's setting the stage for the destruction of our nation. Let me just give you a little tidbit of information. You realize in the four indictments of Trump, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you could call in and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there's some 91 separate charges, 91 plus or minus. If they can find him guilty on any single felony charge, they will then, through the DOJ, be willing to jump in the fray and refuse to allow Trump's name to be on any ballot of any state in America. It's the reason they're pushing for the trials before the November election. It's very, very serious, ladies and gentlemen. What we're faced with today is an insurrection, not from Trump, not from the conservatives and the patriots, but an insurrection by Joe Biden, the Biden administration, the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, the CDC, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to get into the minutiae of that in this broadcast today. But before we get into the minutiae of that, we're going to talk about the storm and what is taking place and what I believe the Bible says we need to do. So let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word is the final authority. In fact, in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, he makes a statement to them. He challenges the disciples, and it inures to our benefit today to understand and apply the challenge. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. And then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I commend the truth book, the word of God, the Bible. It is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society today. If you've not noticed it, let me remind you. We're in a society today that truth is rejected, completely. In fact, it goes back to the statement that was made by George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be very, very truthful today, if I can use that spin on the terms. It was in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell published that back in the late 40s, and he was projecting what America would be like, what would happen by 1984. Well, he was pretty close to correct. Just so happens that the time frame was off generally with the year and date. But ladies and gentlemen, we come to that point today, that point in time in society, where if you stand for truth, whether it's theological, doctrinal, biblical, or political truth, when you stand for truth, ladies and gentlemen, you have those that will hate you and despise you for it. We find the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint was right on target when he made this statement. The headline on his article says, DeMint warns America's decline of the death of truth. And he says in part, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our churches. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful with understanding and listening to the truth. And listen very carefully. You can't depend on the Communist Network News, CNN, ABC, CBS, et cetera, MSNBC. None of those can you depend on for truth. In fact, I just made mention to my bride just recently. I watched the channel as we have breakfast early in the morning, and I watched the various channels just seeking to eke out a little news. More and more of these networks are totally controlled by Big Pharma. More and more of these networks are in the pockets and the hands of the pawns of the Biden administration. And it's very rare to find what you would call news, real news, on any of the channels that you might roll the dial to at any time of the day. They've been simply become social media outlets and telling you how to brush your teeth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We find another concerning issue, and that is, according to the latest survey, 55% of millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say each person determines his or her own truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I commend that to you even today, ladies and gentlemen, that we seek the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth each and every moment of the day. It is very vital. It is important for us to understand that. It is important for us to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the need to recognize God's Word as the truth book. It is the truth that we depend upon. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is outdoor power equipment dealership company that is in business, ladies and gentlemen, looking for those that want to set up their own landscape or lawn care business in the Jacksonville area. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, the Honda generators, and Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care business. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a wonderful benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole, U.S. flag Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Based on that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But ladies and gentlemen, wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, ordered environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Your invitation. Drop by Tools for Time, Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, place you in the family of Tools for a Time. ToolsforTime.com. ToolsforTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the question today, the issue today, just how far will they go? How far do you think the Biden administration is willing to go to destroy Trump and to win the election for the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party for November 2024? But before we get into that issue, ladies and gentlemen, we have a storm approaching. They say that it's going to be pretty heavy with winds and rains. We're told today that it's very close approaching. Sometimes tomorrow noontime will approach and enter the coast, perhaps over the Big Bend area, right in that area, the state of Florida. And they're telling us that tropical storms and flooding and hurricane force winds will be involved. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been in Florida very long, it's hard to say that you can consider these things normal. But may I say, the things that we see taking place today when it comes to the weather should be viewed as normal for the state of Florida. Today we're watching, I believe they call it Idalia or Idalia, scheduled to hit Florida, and it's going to be very soon. The weather projections are flooding, storm surges up to 7 to 10 feet, high winds, loss of power. So the question is, what are most people doing? I read an article this morning by a writer that was on Target. When he asked the question, what are most people in Florida doing now? One writer said this: people are buying all the batteries they can find in the store. And he had a little subtitle there: although most of the batteries will not fit any of the cell phones, end quote. And he further says, and he had pictures in the article that he'd written, grocery shelves are empty of bread, water, toilet paper. Multitudes today, ladies and gentlemen, are panic stricken because of the storm they're faced with. So what do we do? I go back to the Word of God, the Scripture, because in Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41, the Bible is very, very clear on what is recommended. May I read some of those verses for us? In verse 35, Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, "And the same day when the evening was come, he," that's speaking of Jesus, "saith unto them," that's the disciples, "let us go over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." Verse 37, "And there rose a great storm and wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full. And he said, and he," that's Jesus, "was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and saith unto him, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Ladies and gentlemen, we see what I like to call the problem in the storm. And you see the place it's taking place, verse 35 and 36. Jesus says to his 12 disciples, if you put it in the young blood vernacular, "Boys, let's get on the ship." Used the term that he compelled them to get on the ship. It was at this point that they were going to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the scripture tells us in verse 37, there was a great wind. You see, I like to look at it on the basis of the wind's blowing, the waves are beating, and the water is brimming. The scripture says, "And the great storm, a wind." Listen very carefully. If Jesus is God, and he is, if as being God, he knows all things, past, present, future, Jesus knew that a storm was coming because he is the creator controller of the storms. And so, ladies and gentlemen, so the question begs to be asked, why did he put them in the boat? Didn't he know the storm's coming? Didn't he realize what the dangers were? I think that he did. And when you look at the scripture, the only thing, conclusion you can come up with is that Jesus wanted them in the boat in the midst of the storm so that he could teach them a lesson of faith. Now, it's only normal from the human perspective for us to see a storm especially when you look at the ominous look on the radar screens, when you look at it on television or your handheld device and see that monstrous spin coming toward where you are residing. But ladies and gentlemen, God is in control. And in this text, Jesus Christ, being God, knew that that was going to take place. So we see the panic that's taking place among those disciples, though. You see, the verse 38, it says, and he, that is Jesus, was asleep on a pillow. Jesus is sleeping. Does that mean that he didn't care? Jesus is, in his humanity, is asleep in the bow of the boat. And the storm is beating. The winds and the waves are torrential. The disciples are afraid they're going to die. They say, their plea was, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, that is teacher, carest thou not that we perish? They're saying, Jesus, aren't you concerned about what we're faced with in the storm? Now, if we were to simply relate that to where we stand today, perhaps you're saying, does God not see? Does God not know? Does he not care? Is it possible that we're faced with the storm alone? Listen, these disciples were in the midst of the sea. They were in the boat. They had Jesus on board. And listen, I want to tell you, any place that we are, we're not alone. If the Lord Jesus Christ is there, we're all right. But Jesus is wanting to teach his disciples a lesson. He's wanting to teach them to faith him. The scripture says in verse 39, and he, speaking of Jesus, arose, that is, he stood up and rebuked the wind, and the wind ceased. And there was great calm. We see in this text the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over the winds and the waves. The God that we serve, ladies and gentlemen, is in control of what we're faced with for the entire state of Florida. And that doesn't mean that there may not be devastation, loss of property, loss of some lives, perhaps. That doesn't mean that God has lost control or that he's not interested. But I want us to be calm and understand that Jesus Christ is still God. Jesus Christ is still on board. Jesus asked his disciples the question. Listen, this is the key that unlocks the lock for this text. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Because of their fear, Jesus says, it's evidence of no faith. Jesus is saying to his disciples, even in the midst of the storm, we can faith him, follow him, trust him, and understand that he's in control. Remember, these are Jesus' disciples. Remember, these disciples had traveled with Jesus. They'd watched him heal the sick. They'd watched him raise the dead. They'd watched him walk on water. They'd watched him as he cast out demons. Even as believers, our faith can become weak in the midst of the storm. Jesus allows the storms, I believe, to come into our lives to strengthen our faith, to let us see that we need to depend on him, to let us recognize that he is in charge of the storms. That's the purpose. You find that purpose spelled out pretty succinctly in the 41st verse. We're talking about Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41. That 41st verse wraps it up. It says, they feared exceedingly. That is, they rebuked for the lack of faith. And Jesus challenged them for greater faith. They were, if you please, embarrassed before the Lord Jesus. And here in the text, they express reverence and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in that 41st verse that they feared exceedingly, the scripture says. That means they had awe, reverence, worship for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there was a witness that they put forth as a result of what they had experienced. Verse 41, the latter portion, they said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? That is showing that they are witnessing to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we go through the storm, as we face the storm, it is to strengthen our spiritual muscles. It is to develop faith in each and every one of us. So may I encourage you with what's before us for the next few days in relationship to the storm, that we need to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him, and honor Him, and praising Him as we go through the storm. Ladies and gentlemen, as we see what is taking place today, as we watch the battle of the storm and the weather, we still have the battle of survival in America. The battle of survival in America, where we as conservatives and Christians and patriots are watching the battle for the soul of our nation that's being carried out, perpetrated upon us by and through the Biden administration, as we continue to witness what I call the intentional ploy to persecute and prosecute President Donald J. Trump to prevent him from being reelected, to prevent the reelection of Donald J. Trump. The Biden administration, I believe, continues to use the DOJ, the FBI, and as I call it, the thugs with badges, every one of the federal agencies, to prosecute and persecute Donald J. Trump. Just how far are they willing to go? I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What do you see taking place? What are your thoughts in relationship to what the Biden administration is doing? The question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Joe Biden has answered the media several times with this question. For example, before the raid at President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, the question was asked to Biden, did you know about that? No, I didn't know about that until I watched it on the news. When you asked questions about the other events, about his indictments, he didn't know anything about it. He claims he's never communicated with anybody in the DOJ in relationship to that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that he's lied and lied and lied some more. We're discovering that he has multiple communications with the DOJ and those that have used the strong arm of the thugs with badges to prosecute and persecute Donald J. Trump. So how far will they go? The full extent is to try to get the trial. I touched on that previously, just briefly. The major thrust of what we see happening is they want the trial of Donald J. Trump to be before the 2024 election. If they can find him guilty of just one felony, they want to disqualify him running for president. In fact, I'm looking at my pocket constitution, the 14th Amendment, Section 3. I'll read this elongated section. No person shall be a senator or a representative in Congress or elector of president or vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under the state, who have previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies, but Congress may vote 2/3 of the House to remove such disability. Ladies and gentlemen, they want to find some way to carve out a portion of the 14th Amendment, in particular Section 3, to say that President Donald J. Trump cannot run for president. They're on the fast track for that. There's no reason to continue to stack the charges as they have against the president. Out of the four indictments, I believe, again, as I said earlier, I believe there's some 90-plus charges when you fold all four of the indictments together, some 90-plus charges. And if they can make just one stick, they think they've got it home free. That's the reason they want the trials before the 2024 election. I'm looking at one headline, Trump. Judge responds to Fulton County DA's October 2023 trial proposal. The article is dated August the 24th. Former President Donald J. Trump, the current GOP frontrunner for the 2024 presidential race, has opposed the new trial schedule to start on October the 23rd, proposed by the prosecution in the Fulton County case. Fulton County DA attorney Fannie Willis on Thursday proposed an October the 23rd trial date for all 19 defendants charged with racketeering over their challenge of the Georgia 2020 election results, significantly sooner than the March 4th, 2024 trial date she had proposed earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, they're fast-tracking it, and what they have discovered, they, speaking of the Trump team of lawyers and other investigatory agencies, they've discovered that these wannabe high-profile DAs, Soros, George Soros, paid for, bought and paid for, installed DAs, Trump-hating DAs, they're wanting to, in some fashion, craft something that will prevent him being reelected. And they're trying their best to come up with charges to do so. And in the process, it's been discovered that they have coordinated their efforts through the DOJ's office, claiming that they have not. But there's evidence that they have had major input, dialogue, and discussion with the underlings and the Merrick Garland's organization called the Department of Justice. Should be called the Department of Injustice, ladies and gentlemen. It is a sad scenario to see what's taking place and how they're, if I can use the term, ramrodding this process. I'm looking at a headline. The Biden staffer met with member of Jack Smith's team before Trump's indictment. Now, this is a five-page article outlining how each time there's an indictment for President Trump, before their indictment, the DAs that's involved are in direct coordination, direct communication with the Department of Justice office. Now, here's the Jack Smith, the special prosecutor that's been put in place. This article is dated August the 26th. White House visitors' logs show that an aide for the special counsel, Jack Smith, quietly met with the White House counsel's office just weeks before the indictment of President Donald J. Trump on classified document charges. Vista logs reviewed by the Epoch Times showed that Jay Bratt, prosecutor on the Smith team, went to Caroline Saba, that's S-A-B-A, deputy chief of staff of President Joe Biden's White House counsel's office on March 31st. Goes further in the article, further down it states, neither the White House nor the Department of Justice returned the request from Epoch Times for more details about the meeting. Rita Giuliani, who once served as special federal prosecutor, told New York Post that there is no legitimate purpose for the DOJ guy to be meeting with the White House except if it is coordinated efforts at the highest level to prosecute Trump. Mr. Giuliani said that he believes that the meeting was about coordinating the prosecution of Mr. Trump, who was indicted about 9 weeks later on criminal charges that included unlawfully retaining national defense secrets at Mar-a-Lago. Subtitle in this article, which is fascinating, says, Mystery Meeting. While the subject of the meeting remains a mystery, it took several days after an Obama-appointed judge ordered Trump's lawyers, Evan Cochran, to testify before a grand jury in Mr. Smith's investigation into the documents held by the former president at his Mar-a-Lago home. In other words, this article goes in detail. Before each of the indictments, there's proof, ladies and gentlemen, before each of the four indictments, that there was coordination, communication with the DOJ and the White House, i.e. Joe Biden, before these prosecutions, the indictments, the Mar-a-Lago raid, etc., before each of those things took place, there was direct communication and coordination between the DOJ, the White House, to carry it out. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching, we're asking the question, just how far will they go to destroy Donald J. Trump and to then be able to rule over the ash heap that we once called America? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll come back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. A hurricane warning has been posted for hundreds of miles of Florida's west coast. Hurricane Idalia is expected to make landfall tomorrow morning in the Big Bend region, possibly as a powerful Category 3 hurricane. The concern is for a possibly devastating storm surge of anywhere from 8 to 12 feet. Evacuation is mandatory in low-lying areas of 21 Florida counties. The impact of the storm expected to be felt far beyond the coastal areas, all across the central part of the state, and then on Thursday up into the Carolinas as the storm exits Florida. March 4th, Super Tuesday Eve, that's when former President Trump's trial in the January 6th case set to begin. Federal judge rejecting a defense request to push back the start of the trial to April of 2026. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 127 points. This is SRN News.
Do you have earned college credits but no diploma? Would you like to finish your certified degree program? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE to schedule your interview appointment. Please leave your contact information for the admission staff to reach out to you. Today's the day. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, just how far will they go? How far will the DOJ, the FBI, the Biden administration, the socialist Marxist media, the Communist Party called Democrats, how far will they go to destroy Donald J. Trump? What is their next move? What do you think they will do? But ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about the direction that I see things headed. I believe they're going to do everything possible to prevent an in-person voting in the 2024 election. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, they're doing everything possible to prevent Donald J. Trump from being elected. I believe that's their goal. Today, the CDC and the FDA are trying to spin up fear and submission to the public by claiming there's a new COVID pandemic that's on the way. I'm looking at headline. Senator Ron Johnson has had several committee meetings on the subject of COVID-19, its legitimacy or its illegitimacy. Headline of this article says, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson unleashes a bizarre rant about COVID pandemic and claims it was pre-planned by unnamed elites with the goal of taking away human rights. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another headline. Over 100 schools will require students to be vaccinated this year to go back to school. While nearly all universities and colleges across the country have dropped the strictest guidelines stemming from the pandemic, a few holdouts remain. More than 100 schools still require students to be vaccinated in order to attend classes in person. According to the No College Mandates, a group that tracks COVID-19 policies in higher education, a smaller number of schools, including Rutgers and Georgetown University, still require indoor masking. As students are set to return to classes, many are wondering whether enrollment will be impacted by the schools. In terms of COVID guidelines, the distinction between public and private schools is important. While private universities have more flexibility, public schools typically have to adhere to the state guidelines. Rutgers said incoming students must abide by a COVID-19 vaccine mandate, according to the school website. The mandate says there'll be no exceptions, but also says evaluation of exceptions requests will be made on a case-by-case basis. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying, and I've got about 25 or 30 articles in relationship to what's been taking place over the last 30 to 60 days in particular, where we find a fast track of trying to gin up and spin up fear in America about a so-called new pandemic that we should have in the fall. I believe it's planned. And I believe part of the plan is to have it so where people are so fearful that they will be unwilling to go to the polls and vote. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you wonder if that works, it worked in 2020. It worked in 2020 election. Joe Biden sat in his basement. He didn't go out and campaign. He's now doing his campaigning from his leisure chair on his vacation after vacation after vacation. Past 30 days, he spent 23 days, I understand, on vacation. That's the mindset, that he doesn't have to do any campaigning because they feel they've got the election in the box, hands down. That's the approach, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's being taken today to destroy Donald J. Trump. They've got a several-pronged approach. First of all, to the prosecutorial realm, that we're going to prosecute him on everything. Everything that Donald J. Trump has done, that they're trying to prosecute him on now, the socialist Marxist Democrats have done time and time and time again. Even today, Hillary Clinton says that Donald J. Trump is an illegitimate president, that he wasn't legally elected in 2016. She still says that he's not a legitimate president. They still claim that Al Gore won the 2000 election. Ladies and gentlemen, I can go on and on and on. Proof's in the pudding. That if it is the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party that claims foul, if it's the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party that wants to challenge an election, then it's okay. But if Donald J. Trump makes a telephone call and suggests to Raffensperger in Georgia that there's a question about the election, then somehow, some way, he has committed a crime. Ladies and gentlemen, we find a dual system of justice in America today. I'm looking at another headline. Senator Ron Johnson calls Big Pharma and the Biden administration the COVID cartel for producing pandemic or plandemic narratives in America. Wisconsin GOP Senator Ron Johnson referred to Big Pharma and the Biden administration as the COVID cartel for controlling the narrative around COVID-19. We're up against powerful forces, Senator Johnson says on Thursday in his edition of Just the News, No Noise. I termed them, quote, Johnson is speaking, I termed them the COVID cartel, primarily the Biden administration, the federal health agencies, Big Pharma, who have captured the federal health agencies as well as all the media. They captured the media completely. I'm quite certain that it is a man-made virus, Johnson said, referring to COVID-19. And I'm also quite certain that hundreds of thousands of people died that didn't have to. And I'm quite certain also that the vaccine causes death and other serious injuries. It's also being reported that the CDC and the FDA are completely ignoring their own safety surveillance systems in reporting the truth. He goes on with a 5 or 6 page article, ladies and gentlemen. The point that I make is that we're watching the stage being set. We're watching the implementation of another forced lockdown. We're watching the players being put in place and the implementation of a new COVID lockdown, mask mandate, vaccine mandates that is going to be pushed between now and the November 2024 election. There's plenty of time for them to put the implementation, implement all of the factors of this process, and they'll do so. They will steal the election in 2024. That's my prognostication of what will take place. And that'll happen if we the people allow them to force submission and force subjection of we the people to a new lockdown, mask mandate, or vaccine mandate. Ladies and gentlemen, it's on the fast track. Today, I believe, as I said a moment ago, the CDC and the FDA are trying to spin up, gin up fear and submission for the public by claiming a new COVID pandemic this fall. The goal, I believe, is to have new forced mask mandates, new forced lockdowns, and even forced vaccinations on the horizon. I'm looking at a headline, another article by Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson sounds the alarm on the return of COVID-19 mask mandates. Senator Johnson is sounding the alarm after a small number of offices, hospitals, and schools reinstated. This is current. This is present tense. Hear me. They have reinstated mask mandates in recent days, describing the mandates as very alarming. Mr. Johnson told the Moms for Liberty group on August the 23rd that they are ineffective, talking about masks, that they are ineffective, and said that he would keep fighting against them. It's alarming, he said, that the mandates are kicking in again, he told the group. It's like, okay, we noticed masks didn't work previously, particularly for children. We also knew that it didn't work for kids, the Wisconsin Republican said. The N19 mask can have some marginal benefits, but not to deny the freedom of people. Mr. Johnson has said he has always been skeptical of the federal vaccine mandates and has been an advocate for the people who claim to have been injured by COVID-19 vaccines. He also called on the Biden administration, to admit that it is COVID-19's policies that its COVID-19 policies did not work at all. The White House, the senator added, won't acknowledge what he described as the incalculable human toll and the economic devastation caused by the shutdowns. Mr. Johnson's recent remarks came after Hollywood Studios said in a memo earlier this week that it would reimpose mask mandates for several floors of its office building in Santa Monica, California. Further, the article states, employees must wear medical-grade face coverings, surgical mask, N95 or KN95, when indoors except when alone in an office, with the door closed, actively eating, actively drinking at their desk or workstation, or if they are the only ones in the workspace. This week, Kaiser Hospital in Santa Rosa, California, said the Upstate Community Hospital in Syracuse, New York, brought back the masking rule for all visitors, patients, nurses, and doctors to ensure that we are helping protect the health and safety of our patients, our workforce, and our community. We have reintroduced the mask mandate for all physicians, staff, patients, members, and visitors in the hospital and the medical offices in our Santa Rosa area, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, you're finding this same creeping push that took place in 2019 and 2020 is on the fast track today. There's a goal. Listen, this has not happened by kind of a circumstantial thing just popping up. Maybe this will do it and this company will not. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a push behind the scenes by Big Pharma and the federal government. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, any doctor's office, any medical facility, any business, any place of business, generally speaking, that is open to the public, generally speaking, when you go back and study what happened in 2019, 2020, 2021, and early and through the latter portion of 2022, ladies and gentlemen, you find that these offices and these complexes were paid by the federal government to continue to enforce the mask mandate. It's designed to bring about submission, surrender, and subjection to the federal government. And I'm looking at one headline that's frightening. Could mask mandates and COVID hysteria be making a comeback for America? With new COVID variants in the news, the same media and the activists on the left who were most fanatical about masks and other heavy-handed COVID policies during the pandemic are now pushing mask mandates once again. Conservatives warned it would be the precursor to the return to the oppression in the name of fighting COVID and vowed collectively, we will not comply. U.S. Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, tweeted out a message, COVID does not equal constitutional authority, above a tweet by Ryan Cunningham that states, the WHO, World Health Organization, CDC, Biden administration, are fear-mongering Americans with a new COVID variant after highly mutated strains were reported in Michigan. Sources of the DHS says emergency management are already preparing to lock down and put in place restrictions. Look at today's headlines. It's a coordinated government and media campaign to frighten America into subjection and hysteria. The Post flashing a string of ominous sounding headlines from the following media. CBS News, NBC News, The Guardian, CNBC, Times of Israel, ABC News, Reuters, that is, Washington Post, and the New York Post. Here's the headlines in the left-wing British newspaper, The Guardian. Quote, new COVID variant causing concern among scientists detected in London. The article continues, ladies and gentlemen, but with most Americans enjoying their freedom and thrilled to the era of not thrilled to the era of comeback to the mask wearing, conservatives already vowing not to comply with any renewed COVID restrictions. It appears that it would be a lot harder for the elites to instill mass COVID paranoia and the tyrant that flows from it, tyranny that flows from it, than to put the pandemic in place just to keep Donald Trump out of the presidency, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the key to it. That's the key part of the headline that we need to understand. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, how far will they go? Do you believe that the socialist Marxist media linked with the Oval Office, linked with the CDC and all of the Biden administration, do you think they'd be willing to lock down America, destroy the economy further, and to wipe out anything that would be called freedom in America just to win the election absolutely unequivocally? Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. What are your thoughts? Do you believe I'm on track? Do you believe this is wrong? Do you believe that it is too extreme that the Biden administration would not do that? Ladies and gentlemen, I think that we need to understand that that's where it's headed. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, I don't believe anything. I believe they'll do anything to try to establish mail-in voting again. And we all know that that's how the 2020 election basically was stolen, was all these mail-in ballots that were not verified or checked. And in Pennsylvania, they had the state of Pennsylvania got back more ballots than they sent out. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, I mean, it's really insane. But also, we need to remember that Biden is a serial liar. He lied.
Absolutely.
He lied about when he was running for president back in the 80s. He lied about his credentials. He lied about – he plagiarized a speech from another person. He's not a good man. He's just not a good man. He will do and say anything to get power and money. And,
absolutely. Miranda, you might remember recently he was in New Jersey and he somehow got on the subject. New Jersey has more bridges than any other state. And then he paused for a moment. He said, I remember standing at watching a bridge as I was waiting to cross over, watching the bridge collapse. He just brought that into the picture, and that was a total lie. He's never done that. That's never happened in his life. But it's just he comes conjures up things, and in his mind, perhaps it's real because he's cognitively totally depleted, and it's very dangerous.
Absolutely.
And we're watching the global leaders laughing at America because of Biden's cognitive ineptness and inability still to lead America. I'm concerned about it, Miranda, and I'm watching I'm watching as we see the stage being set, as you said, for the, in fact, very recently, if I can toss this in, you know, and the wannabe high-profile DA in Georgia, where they have just indicted Trump. The fact is, somebody's just come out with the material and so forth that they had over 10,000 mail-in ballots that, as you said, in other states, mail-in ballots that were brought back in that were never mailed out because they were printed for that purpose. And we're watching the stage being set for the very same shenanigans to take place once again. And I think it's deserving of every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot to recognize where we're headed. And Miranda, I don't know about you, but I'm in a position that I believe that every Christian, every conservative, every citizen needs to be willing to say, no, we will not put on a mask. No, we will not take the vaccination. No, we will not lock down. Just recently, I don't have the article before me, but a whole institution in one of the cities in California, everybody said, we're not going to put on a mask. And the, I believe it was the Hospital and Medical Association, had to change the policy and say, okay, you can come back to work. And that's what it's going to take.
That's what it will. We have to all say, no, we will not comply.
Absolutely.
We're not going to give up our constitutional rights.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miranda, so much for your call, for your dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the potential with the question being asked, just how far will they go? Speaking of the socialist Marxist left, and I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to talk about mask, and perhaps you may want to disagree, that's fine. I'm looking at a headline that says, study shows that the N95 mask rife with bad chemicals. 75% of the pro-patient charities run by Big Pharma dead. The article goes further. Mask study published by the NIH suggests that the N95 mask may expose wearers to dangerous levels of toxic compounds likely to cause seizures and cancer. The article is a massive 20-25-page study. The study researchers tested 14 different N95 masks, disposable masks, and washable cloth masks available online, and measured each mask toxicity level and the whole category of toxic, volatile, or organic compounds, the key word being toxic and volatile, which have been linked to liver injury and, of course, reproductive damages and even lung damages. It says, it can irritate the eyes, the nose, the throat, and the throat, causing difficulty breathing and nausea, and can damage the central nervous system and your internal organs like the liver, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The N95 mask, and yet that's the one that the CDC and the FDA all claim is the highest level of the best. But this study shows that it is dangerous with the toxicity and can destroy a person's health for the future. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is we need to recognize that what the Biden administration is doing is very, very, very close to what took place in the little book of Esther. Some of you might recall it if you're a biblicist, if you've studied the scripture. Let me just call our attention to it. In the book of Esther, chapter 6 and chapter 7, perhaps you know the story. The story is recall the study in the book of Esther where Haman hated the Jews. Haman especially hated Esther's uncle, Mordecai. And because of that, Haman convinced the king to allow him to build a gallows to hang Mordecai on. Because Mordecai, when Haman would come by in his carriage and with his entourage, Mordecai would not bow, would not bend, would not bend a knee to show obeisance toward Haman as he passed by. Haman hated him, despised him, and somehow convinced the king that he needed to build a gallows to put Mordecai on the gallows to hang him. But as a result, ladies and gentlemen, of Esther discovered what was taking place, the evil, wicked plot. And she set up the meeting. And I'm paraphrasing chapter 6 and 7 of the book of Esther. She set up a meeting so that Haman was invited to come to the party, if you will, the celebration. And it was announced then, it was shown then what was to take place, and asked the question, what should that person do? How should he be received? And Haman answered the question because he thought it was he that was being elevated. He thought that he was going to be applauded and recognized. And it was the king through Esther that was going to do that, recognizing Mordecai for who he was and what he had done. But it was Esther that discovered that wicked, evil plot. Ladies and gentlemen, and I simply say this, as you look at chapter 6 and 7 of Esther, it wound up being Haman that was hanged on the gallows and not Mordecai. So I say to Joe Biden, be very, very careful of the plot that you're planning for Donald J. Trump. Be very careful, Mr. President, of the plot that you're planning. Be very careful of what you're doing that does not come back and bite you. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all sincerity that we're going to see, just as in the book of Esther, how it the plan, the plot, the evil, wicked, dastardly deed that Haman had planned for Mordecai wound up taking his life as a result of what he had planned. And I believe we can count on God and God's faithfulness to do the very same thing with this socialist Marxist media and the plan that Joe Biden has, claims he doesn't know anything about any of the indictments, claims he has not had any dialogue or discussion or interplay with those that are the prosecutors, only to find that he is in the very center of each and every one of the indictments. He's in the very center of the dialogue and discussion for what has taken place. And ladies and gentlemen, these lockdowns, the mask mandates, et cetera, part and parcel of the plan through the Joe Biden administration to undermine, tear down, and destroy, that we might be put in a position that we can think we've got to stay home, we can't go out and vote, and therefore allow the election to be stolen again. I'm looking at a headline, lockdown 2.0, mask, social distancing, more are creeping back as election season builds toward 2024. With a little more than a year until 2024 election, the reappearance of some of the COVID-era protocols has concerns that more widespread measures may be ordered by the Biden administration in months ahead. This week, Morris Brown College announced on Instagram the effect of immediately several COVID-19 protocols, including campus-wide mask mandates, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. CNN reported that at least one expert has said the protocols may be needed soon for people of diabetes, cancer, chronic liver, kidney, or lung disease, organ or stem cell transplant, HIV, or other immunocompromising conditions, a history of heart disease, stroke, dementia, mental health issues, the COVID-19 protocol. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look at what they say that would be those in the category that would need to have the mask, that would need to be locked down, that would need to have the COVID-19 shot, all of them would include just about all of most of humanity. It says they want to reimpose, listen, social distances, ban on large gatherings, isolation and quarantine according to the CDC guidelines, contact tracing, once again, symptomatic monitoring, regular hand washing, and sanitation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the fast track of COVID-19 and all of the mandates returning. One headline says, COVID mask mandates return to America. And it's a massive article talking about where it's headed with the mask mandates, the COVID lockdowns, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, may I simply close with this statement. I believe that we need to watch the hand of God and realize that what Joe Biden is doing, and in Proverbs 26:27 says, if you dig a pit for someone else, you're going to fall in it. Joe Biden is digging the pit with the idea of the implementation of that to steal the election in 2024. And it is my most humble opinion that God will not allow that to take place, that God is going to allow it to reverse on Joe Biden and the socialist Marxist media and the left. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep praying, keep looking up, understanding that God's still on the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you.